It was August, and Ted was on holiday in the fashionable spa town of Harrogate. On Sunday morning, the pastor preached on Isaiah 26, verse 3, "You will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you." In the afternoon, he visited an elderly relative who was near to the end of life and found him in a troubled state of mind. Taking up a sheet of paper, he started to write down a few lines. The few lines became a few verses. The verses became a hymn. And that's the hymn that we've just sung together. This hymn provides us with a series of improbabilities. Each question seems to defy an adequate answer. Peace, perfect peace, with sorrows surging round, by thronging duties pressed. Well, this evening, anchoring our thoughts in the words of Isaiah 26:3, "You will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed upon you." Remembering the words of our Lord Jesus, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you." Let's go through this hymn, looking at each question and the answer provided, and then considering our experience in this present life. So the first question is, peace in the world of sin? In this dark world of sin, well, for sure the world is a dark place. And the reason for that is because it's full of sin. So this hymn starts with the root cause of all human woes, namely sin. We introduced this into the world, and it has plagued us ever since. Sin has cast a long, dark shadow over our history. Isaiah speaks of it elsewhere in his prophecy, in chapter 60, verse 2. He says, "For behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the people, deep darkness, dark darkness shall cover the people." In Isaiah 9, verse 2, he speaks of people, this is a localized group of people now, who walked in darkness and dwelt in the land of the shadow of death. Now, it is true that there are sequestered spots of earth where we can find a sanctuary of peace. I hope we do. There's the stillness of the mountains. We're looking forward to a visit to the mountains soon. The silent flowing of the stream. Glimpses of the paradise that we've lost. But in this world, that peace is soon shattered. Even in the tranquil village of Thorpe Molesor, just near to Kettering, the diggers have arrived. Every possible kind of truck, rollers, road rollers, dumper trucks, machines that cut open the tarmac, they're laying new drains. The peace is shattered. Although I must admit, I'm rather enjoying watching all of the activity. Anywhere it can happen. But how dreadful it is for the people who just happen to be in Tehran, in Beirut, in the Ukraine, this dark world of sin. And for many people in all places, we find that many things are in our experience which are distressing. And even the younger ones among you, you've had some taste of that. You know what it is. I remember when one of our friends was just driving with some mates through Overston, failed to take a bend, head-on crash. Two in the front were killed. Our friend in the back survived the crash. Was he about 16? 16. Here you go. Distressing things of this nature. Peace is very easily and very soon broken. Trace the root cause back, and it's sin. And this points us then to the answer that's given. In this dark world of sin, the blood of Jesus whispers peace within. Now, I want you to hear that. The blood of Jesus speaks peace into sinful souls, because Jesus has dealt with sin on the cross. He dealt with sin. He cancelled sin so that we can have peace by the blood of Jesus coming and being applied to our souls. There's a hymn by W. Vernon Higham, and it speaks about this. It goes like this: peace through the blood of Christ alone. That's the source of peace. Peace comes from the blood of Christ. He made peace for us by shedding his blood to take away our sin. Peace through the blood of Christ alone. Peace with my God. That's the effect of peace. That by his death, by his blood, we have peace with God. He has made peace, the peace that for believers cannot be taken away. Peace through the blood of Christ alone. Peace with my God. Peace within my heart. That's the experience of peace. We shall never know peace with God. We shall never have that peace within our heart whilst we remain unrepentant, whilst we haven't turned away from sin, whilst we haven't put our faith in the cross of Jesus to take away our sin and to give us that peace. Peace through the blood of Christ alone, that's the source of peace. Peace with my God, that's the effect of peace. Peace within my heart, the experience of peace. And then peace in that day when he comes to reign. Do you sometimes wonder what it will be like when Jesus returns? Do you feel a little bit afraid about that? What if, through the blood of Christ, you can be sure that it will be peace for you in that day when he comes to reign? Peace through the blood of Christ. Peace with my God. Peace within my heart. Is that always the case? Well, thank God, we for those of us who believe, we've known that peace. But there's still sin in our lives. Our peace is still broken by sin. That's the reality of it. But how wonderful, even then, that peace can be restored. How? By the blood of Jesus Christ. Peace in a world of sin. Yes, Christ has dealt with sin. He's made peace by the blood of his cross. For those who believe, he will speak that peace into their lives, into their souls, and you'll have the peace of God within. Go to the next verse. Peace, perfect peace. This is one for some of us. By thronging duties pressed. You awake early enough to grab a cuppa and to snatch a brief, precious time of quiet. But your mind soon turns to the must-dos, the should-dos, and the if-only-I-could-dos. You check your to-do list, you make a plan, and then the messages come in and things crop up. The flak starts to fly. Difficulties, complications, setbacks, frustrations, things you didn't see coming, dodging bullets, being weighed down with pressure, hard-pressed, stressed, the weight of the world on your shoulders. Peace? Perfect peace? Seems an illusion, doesn't it? Seems a cruel jest. But unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. Isaiah again, chapter 9 and verse 6. God takes on our humanity. He experiences all of that. He was so pressed at one time that he didn't even have time to eat, let alone sleep. So pressed. But Jesus, so he knows our pressures. He understands it. But more than that, the next line, read the next line. Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be where? On his shoulders. Yeah. He can take the weight. He will. And his shoulders are very broad. Peace. Psalm 55:22, cast your burden on the Lord, and he will sustain you. Stress, 1 Peter 5:7, cast all your care on him, for he cares for you. How can that work out in our lives? How can we begin to hope to know peace with all this stuff going on, all these duties thronging about? How can that be? Well, the key is to be totally at one with the will of God. To be in that place where your will has become one with his. And you will then find, as the answer to the question in the hymn puts it, to do the will of Jesus, this is rest. There's an ease then. You're totally at one with him. You're yoked to him, and you're doing it together. He's taking the weight. And so in the midst of it all, it is possible to know that rest, that peace, that inward peace in the Lord. Despite everything that's going on all around, deep down, there is yet still a peace in your heart, a rest in the Lord. Now, we always know that. The duties will still throng, they'll still press upon us, but it is possible to know the peace of Jesus, the peace of God in your heart. Peace, perfect peace, with sorrows surging round. Sorrow. The soul only knows its own sorrow. The words of Tennyson, who is the Victorian poet laureate, may have a familiar ring to some of us here who have tasted the depths of sorrow. He wrote this, he said, I sometimes hold it half a sin to put in words the grief I feel, for words, like nature, half reveal and half conceal the soul within. But for the unquiet heart and mind, a use in measured language lies. A sad mechanic exercise, like dull narcotics, numbing pain. So in words like weeds I'll wrap me o'er, like coarsest clothes against the cold, but that large grief which these enfold is given in outline and no more. A bereavement. A lost love. A home we once lived in that we visit no more. A life we once had which is forever lost. It may be just that we enter into the sorrow of others. We share and we feel the sorrow of others. Sometimes we just feel the sorrow of the world. Peace, ease, calm repose with sorrow surging round. But Isaiah reminds us that Jesus Christ was a man of sorrows, and he was acquainted with grief. He knew it firsthand. There is a fellowship of sorrow in the heart of Christ. Though he's enthroned above in glory, yet he still remembers his tears and his sighs here below, and he feels for our sorrows. That fellowship in the heart of Christ, there's an intimacy in that fellowship to draw near to him, to be held close to his heart, to be folded there. That is deeply consoling and healing. Only those who have come close to the Lord and who've been embraced in his heart, who've felt the feeling that he has for our sorrow, and the closeness and the fellowship and the intimacy, will know the balm mollifying our broken, sorrowing hearts. When sorrows are surging round, this place in the heart of Christ provides us with a shelter and a solace, and yes, a place of peace. It's not merely being in his presence, wonderful though that is, but this is being close. This is being in that closest place, in the warm hold of his loving heart. Does the grief go away? No. It still comes back, catches you when you least expect it. But it is possible to know the peace of God, even in the sorrows of the heart. Peace, perfect peace with sorrows surging round. In Jesus, I've forgotten the line there, but you know it. His heart, Jesus' bosom, perfect rest is found. That'll do. Okay, next one. Peace, perfect peace with loved ones far away. Come across the song by Carol King, "So Far Away." Long before most of you were thought of. You're so far away. Doesn't anybody stay in one place anymore? It would be so fine to see your face at my door. Doesn't help to know you're so far away. That's very real, isn't it? That's a very common human experience. Your beautiful mother, it's Mother's Day. Some people, you know, your lovely father, your grandchildren, so far away. Maybe Malaysia, maybe the Philippines. Maybe you don't know where they are. Maybe you don't know who they are anymore. And you wonder, how are they now? You miss them. There's a yearning and a pining in your heart. Peace, perfect peace with loved ones far away. Answer a question with a question. Isn't Jesus watching over them? Can't you trust him to take care of them? If you can trust anyone, you can trust him. Take care of your loved ones who are far away. You can entrust them to him and then you will have peace concerning them. In Jesus' keeping, we are safe, and so are they. You will have a sense that all is well, because Jesus is watching over them. Jesus is taking care of them. Peace with loved ones far away. Will you still miss them? Yeah, I can bet you will. But you can taste and know a peace in that situation. Number five, there's seven altogether. We're getting through. Peace, perfect peace, our future, all unknown. This is the one. We don't know, do we? We may soon know more than we do now, but even then we'll not know it all. We can't. It's not ours to know the future. And it's the not knowing that can be the hardest thing. It seems trite just to say, well, Jesus knows. Although that may contain a soothing balm itself, if we take it the right way. You see, but this area of the unknown is exactly the area in which faith operates. Faith operates in the area of what is not known. That's where faith comes in. Faith operates in the area of what is not seen. That is where faith comes in. If we could see, if we knew, we wouldn't need faith. Faith in someone. Faith in someone you can rely on. Someone for whom there are no unknowns. And someone whose loving care and rule over all things is complete. See, sometimes we need to remind ourselves, as an old friend used to tell us, that our God is still on the throne and he will take care of his own. And so we have to exercise faith where we don't know. That's where faith comes in. And when we exercise, when faith is in exercise, then we have peace. We simply trust him. And then we are given his peace. Does that mean you never wake up with troubling thoughts in the night? No, you will. But as we exercise our faith and trust in Christ, well, we just don't know it's going to, we don't know how it's going to play out yet. We can find his peace speaking to our hearts. Next one, next big question is peace, perfect peace with death shadowing us and ours. There's a man in our village whose body is worn out. He had several businesses. He worked very hard. He was driving to and from Spain, building stuff, developing stuff, going flat out. He's got an endless amount of stories to tell. But it's taken its toll. And his body is just worn out. It's just starting to fall apart. And he's got all kinds of health issues. My cousin is 88. She's frail. And she's just had yet another fall and is in hospital. For such people, it is as if death's shadow has fallen upon them. These are the shadow lands, as C.S. Lewis put it, the dimming of the day. Everything fades. Nothing has any significance anymore. There's just some goodbyes to be said, and then I'm gone. There's nothing you can say. Your loved one is no more. You linger weeping. And then you walk away in silence. You're under the shadow of death. sometimes the darkness seems to deepen. John Bunyan describes his immortal pilgrim walking through the valley, a dark valley. The path was very narrow and dangerous. The valley was very gloomy. And the story goes like this. When Christian had travelled in this disconsolate condition for some considerable time, going through the valley of the shadow of death, he thought he heard the voice of a man behind him saying, "Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me." Jesus is with us. That makes all the difference. With us, with our person who now is, they know their days are few. Their health is failing, but that Jesus is with us. In the shadow, our loved one, we know it won't be long, they're not long for this world. Jesus is with us. We're in the valley of the shadow of death. He says, "I will fear no evil, for you are with me." And furthermore, Jesus stands at the head of the valley. As Hyam put it in his hymn, in fact, in the Pilgrim's Progress, Christian saw a light at the end of the valley and he headed for that light. And Vernon Hyam picks this up in his hymn, "For yonder a light shines eternal that spreads through the valley of gloom. Lord Jesus, resplendent and regal, drives fear far away from the tomb." See that? He stands at the head of the valley of death. The one who was, he's standing, that's the point. He was raised from the dead. The one who has vanquished death and all its powers. It is a dark valley, but if Christ is with us, if he is the light at the end of the valley, then we do not face death. We do not walk through that valley as those who have no hope. And we discover the reality of the words of 1 Corinthians, that death has lost its sting and grave has been robbed of its victory by Christ. How did he do that? How did he take away the bitterness, the sharpness, the sting of death? How did he do that? Isaiah tells us, surprisingly, Isaiah 25, verse 8, "He swallowed up death forever. He gulped it up. No more can it have sway or hold over those who put their trust and faith in him. He's risen victorious, having vanquished death and all its powers. So we can know peace. Peace, even when, perfect peace, when death is shadowing us and ours. I mean, the reality is that death is still hard to face for ourselves, and it's also heartbreaking to observe. But we can know the peace of Christ, the peace that comes from his presence with us, the peace that comes from the hope that he sets before us. We're not those who have no hope. Some people are in that position. And then finally, in the end, peace, perfect peace in the end. So why did I have to spoil it for you every time? I just told you how it is that Jesus speaks peace. He gives peace in every situation. You may have had a few wounds open this evening. And yet, the Lord only does that to pour in his balm, his oil and his wine, to bring soothing, to mollify, to heal our wounds. Oh, I pray that if a wound has been opened, a wound of sorrow, that you will have heard Jesus speaking peace into your soul. That's how he gives us his peace. He speaks it. He speaks peace. The prophet said he will speak peace to the nations. Can't wait for that. And he speaks peace to the individual soul. So why the reality checks? Why did I keep saying, well, but yeah, but you still struggle? Well, that's because the reality is that we still live in this dark world of sin. We're still surrounded with troubles and stress, with adversity, and we are but frail little people. But we can find and experience the peace of God in the midst of those situations, and people do. That defies description and explanation. Why has that person got peace? It's a wonderful thing when people can see someone who's in trouble of one kind or another. Oh. The folks of Ukraine. We had a guy come to work for our conference centre in Ireland, Sergei, I'll give you his name, from Ukraine. He ran a cafe in Kiev, and when the war broke out, he escaped and came to live in Ireland, got a job working for the Castlewellan Conference Centre, and just heard last week or two, his brother's body was found close to the front line. There's a lady who is working in the kitchen at Cloverley Hall. I shouldn't give you all the names, but there she is. And soon after that, she had a message to say that her brother was missing in action. We know what that means, most probably. How do you find peace in that situation? We've seen the reasons why we can know the peace of God. But we've understood that God himself can speak peace, he can give peace inexplicably to people in those situations. We pray he will for these two dear people and many like them. But there are people in the Ukraine and they're reaching out to their neighbours, Christian people, and they say, they're demonstrating this. They have a peace. They have a hope that these other folks don't have. And it speaks volumes to them. This can be so in whatever situation we might face. God gives us his peace. We become a marvel to those around us. It's a wonderful thing. But yeah, we're still in this world of pain. We can know. We should know. We will know by God's grace. His peace in whatever situation we go through. But remember in that verse, in Isaiah 26, verse 3, the word was repeated, wasn't it? Peace, peace. Translated, perfect peace. Yes, peace can be ours now, but perfect peace, that will only be ours when earth's struggles cease and when Jesus calls us to heaven's perfect peace. Now, that's sooner than you think. Hebrews 10:37, for yet a little while, and he who is coming will come. Soon, the storm of life will pass over, and all our woes will be past and gone. Soon our Lord Jesus will come for us or he'll call us to himself. Soon we shall be forever in that place of peace. Perfect peace. Soon. Oh, soon. Let's pray. Oh, we thank you for your words, Lord Jesus. My peace I leave with you, your bequest to us. My peace I give you. It's real peace, not like the world that doesn't last, but true peace, perfect peace. And we pray, O Lord, whatever else we've heard and thought about this evening, that we will have experienced the peace of God. As you have spoken to us tonight, that we feel that peace of God within our hearts, dispelling our sorrows, our woes, Lord, our troubles, our worries, our stress, our fear and concern. Oh, Lord, peace. And may we be those who know that peace, a peace which passes all understanding, keeping guard over our hearts and our minds in these coming days. In Christ's name, amen.